Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is the fourth day of September 2019, and the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through chapter 32, verse 2, Hosea chapter 12, starting at verse 13 through chapter 14, verse 9, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Be sure to follow The Warn Radio on Facebook, and we're also on LinkedIn. You can find us on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag Warn Radio. And Warn Radio Network is available to listen through Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and we're also on Deezer. I want to admonish you to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. He takes these seriously. They're inspired. And they're pertinent for this day and age that we're living in. And so please take the time to read them and pass them on to your friends. And this week we feature The Cup of Sorrows, The Truth of Righteousness. Cup of Sorrows, The Battle for Truth and Righteousness finds it in the time of sorrows, commonly called the last days or the last of the last days. It pits nations of men against the Lord and his anointed. It brings tools to this battle using governments, laws, action, and wickedness. Today, there are those who will stop at nothing to get their agenda fulfilled, whether it be worldwide Islamic rule, globalist socialism, or nations of hedonism. Many would destroy to get the thing they cherish. And also, Ecclesiastics. Mirror reflecting man's choice. Ecclesiastes' mirror casts a reflection regarding man's choices. Many today find its content depressing. Some people may even consider it, not even consider it at all. But the Ecclesiastes' mirror is full of wisdom. We walk through some verses found in Ecclesiastes. Remember, from the book and the writer, along with the speaker, the full revelation of the coming Messiah had not yet been revealed. And you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles and more, and also listen to the shows. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
Greetings.
Hi.
Yeah, I forgot you were going to do that. That's all right. We've heard him before.
Yeah.
At any rate, we've got a bunch of stuff up front that we're going to be talking about. One of the things that we like to talk about whenever they send us the news, and that is the Assyrian patriarchs. They had their conference in Hungary. Now, this is very pertinent because this has to do with the Syriac Orthodox Church. Actually, it's of Antioch. You'll find Antioch in the Bible. And it is in Syria that ISIS went through, and in there are some ancient places there that the Christians go back a long ways, as well as in Iraq. And Syria was pretty well hit hard by ISIS, including the Christians. And so in Budapest, they had their regular conference there. And it actually is the second one. We covered the first one, on our news broadcast when it came out. And it occurred in the latter part of November of this year. And, of course, they discussed the plight of Christians around the world. And, it's quite an attraction because they had over 40 countries and that participated. 600 people were in attendance. And really, that's quite a bit. And here it's important to note that before ISIS went through, you probably never heard of the Syriac church, let alone, the Chaldean church over in Iraq and things like that. But, all of these groups came to light. And, of course, they are, when you talk about being in the Muslim areas, they have been on the line for many, many years. And everything went along fine. And then one day, the Muslims woke up and the Christians woke up and there was differences and Christians were getting killed and ISIS suddenly then showed up. And so today we are in that where Christians who have lived alongside Muslims for, a long time without much bloodshed have suddenly seen an increase in probably the last 20 years, no doubt. And now they reported that every day 11 Christians are killed for religious reasons. And they label this as the greatest humanitarian crisis of our time. And globally, they estimate 245 million persecuted Christians. And isn't that amazing? And so this makes Christianity the most targeted religion on the planet. And, in my article that I wrote today, and it's not published, I talk about some of these aspects, in particular, how a particular woman who happens to be a lesbian and a bishop, and this is in a particular country over in Europe, has said she feels more, she feels identifies more with Muslims than Christians, and that most of the problems in the world is, when we talk about Muslims, she says it's a minor portion. And so when we really deal with the issue of what some in the church really understand, what's really happening, they haven't got a clue. And you and I can both attest to the fact that there is a lot of radical Islam and there's radical Hinduism. And of course, there is the Chinese government and there's the North Korean government. And there's a lot of others who are all cracking down on Christianity. That makes it the most targeted religion on the planet.
Well, and, you know that because these are the end of days, the days in which.
Yeah. So when you think of 245 million people, give or take a few million, that is a good reason to pay attention to the persecuted Christians. Now, at the WIBR Warren Radio, we strive on our Wednesday broadcast here to advocate for the persecuted church. And when we were covering ISIS, when it was going on, we were doing a lot of news at the time. We don't do news. The only thing we do is Christian articles, in-depth, researched, heavy-duty articles, challenging articles, and also our shows. That's what you'll find on our sites, and we're purging all the news out of it. We have old go, but we're not a news place anymore. You want news, go to Breitbart. But if you want to know about the Christian church and what's happening overseas, we do have these shows that we do. Now, we don't cover everything, but we give you an overview. And it's interesting to know that Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban stated that Europe can only be saved if it finds its way back to the true source, to the source of its true values, to its Christian identity. He said, Europe is quiet. A mysterious force seals the lips of European politicians and paralyzes their arms. And of course, they don't really view at all the Christian persecution. They don't see the problem. I don't think they even seize the point of Europe itself being threatened. And that in itself is hard to believe. Now, Donald Trump,
yes,
of course, who stood up for all of these, sent a message to the group. And he said, the United States has always vehemently defended the inalienable right to live and worship freely according to one's conscience and beliefs. He said, Hungary's State Secretariat for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and Hungary helps program share America's conviction in defending and advancing religious liberty while thanking them for organizing this gathering. And so it's good that they came together for the cause of persecuting Christians in the Middle East. And they do this to try to get a persecuted church out in front of the media. And it's hard to believe that when we cover all this, that Europe still does not see the threat of Islam. And Islam, wherever it goes, tries to set up roots to Sharia law in the UK. They've already got policemen with their own police cars that are Muslim. The Muslim community has them, and they're enforcing Sharia law in portions of Great Britain right now. And so, you know, this is literally what the West has not a clue about. There's never been one nation or one culture where Islam blend into that culture. They always remain aloof from it, separate, and eventually try to take it over. Whether you like it or not, that's what happens.
That's true.
So that's the Assyrian Patriarchs Convention. And we do have a couple of other little news shorts here. And, you know, this one is in the news again. Sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. And I couldn't believe it. It's about to get much worse with new claims against its clergy expected across the country. New rules for sexual abuse claims are extending or suspending the statutes of limitation in 15 states. That means the surge in new cases stretching back decades is expected to hit the Catholic Church. Father Thomas Rees, a Jesuit priest and senior analyst at Religion News Service, told CBN Faith Nation, the church needs to acknowledge the great pain victims have suffered at the hands of bad priests. Now the Catholic Church was filled with them. The legal reckoning could cost over $4 billion. They're looking at upwards of 5,000 new cases. Can you believe that? 5,000.
Wow. That's horrible.
And so that's one thing. Now, of course, this isn't on our radar for the persecuted church, but this is important when you're talking about the church. When you've got a church and it's filled with priests that are going to molest your altar boys or altar girls, I mean, the girls that participate in
the
whatever
children.
They do. Yeah, the children. Not to mention the fact, the stories that have been out there for decades of priests molesting nuns. So,
this is just unconscionable. They are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, and you're supposed to be able to look up to them for guidance, and then they do this. This is just horrifying.
It is. And so pray for those victims. And also, if you've got people in the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church needs a revival in its own right. And so another one up front we're looking at is China implementing face scans for new phone users. Now, this is new. Now, China. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Now, it is, especially when we're looking at the mark of the beast, the control of population. China has already initiated a social media scoreboard, a social scoreboard for all Chinese Christians, all Chinese people, that they get grades according to their social behavior and obedience to the Chinese communist doctrine. And what they do. Well, in the name of security, Beijing is requesting telecom operators to collect face scans when registering new phone users. When they go buy a phone, they get the face scan. And their information technology ministry issued a notice on safeguarding the legitimate rights and interests of citizens online, and in September, laying out rules for enforcing real name registration. Operators are asked to use artificial intelligence and other technical means to verify people's identities when they apply for a new phone number. And the measure, described by the ministry as a way to protect the legitimate rights and interests of citizens in cyberspace, makes Chinese mobile phone and internet users easier to track. And, of course, whenever you're talking, first we went to thumbprints, now we're facial scans, and now whenever you get a phone number or, the next thing will be is when you get a new phone, when you buy anything. I mean, if you go over to the UK, they have more surveillance cameras in the UK than I think anywhere else on Earth. That's well known. So we are entering in. We're actually past the phase warned about so long ago. By writers of this time when society would track everything, that the people would do. We are entering into this technology and the ability to control everything you read, everything you do. And this right here has tremendous prophetic impact for what is going to be called, when the beast comes, Revelation 13, to control everybody's ability to buy or sell. And a lot of people buy or sell, what do? Online, don't they?
That's right. It makes it so easy.
So, I don't know. This kind of stuff, from my standpoint, they can shove it. So I don't care. Get away from me.
If I get a new phone, I don't want to have to do that. Of course, I'm not in China, but I don't want it to happen here.
Well, look at China. Look at how they're cracking down on the Christian church, for crying out loud. China can be a real dangerous place. When they tell you to jump, you're going to have to do it. And so this is not going to look good. Now, I was warned as a boy to beware of the rule of the yellow people and of the dragon. And all of that refers to China. And at the time, almost everybody in China as Red China and Communist China. And, I remember my dad telling me, and this was in the time, and he's since passed away, but he warned me. He was from that generation. He fought in World War II in the South Pacific. He was a Navy medic. And so they were from that thing. China was not friendly. They were an enemy. And then there's been a whole, you know, decades where China was supposed to be open and friendly. But I remember before he died, he said, he told me pointedly when he came into my office, he said, Red China is not a friend. It's still Red China, and they're still communist. And his words have proved prophetic today, because we look and we see that China has never changed. But they used the ability to have commerce and make a lot of money in order to get more stable in that respect. And speaking of money, the U.S. posted its first month in 70 years as a net petroleum exporter. Bloomberg brought this out. The nation exported 89,000 barrels a day. This is more than it imported. This is according to the Energy Information Friday. The U.S. Return to being a net exporter serves to remind how the oil industry can deliver surprises. In this case, the shale oil revolution that upended global oil prices, production, and trade flows, said Bob McNally, a former energy advisor to President George W. Bush and president of the consulting firm Rapidan Energy Group. In the days of Jimmy Carter and even Ronald Reagan, we would have longed for this day, said Jim Lucier, managing director of Washington, D.C.-based Capital Alpha Partners, LLC. Now we scarcely notice it at all. And, you know, we're at a time when we have people that want to shut down the oil.
Well, I know. That's what Obama wanted to do.
And, you know, people are nuts today. You know, absolutely nuts. And so I'm not one of those. I think people are crazy. I think the greenies, the liberals, a lot of them are nuts today, period. And you and I, we remember the days of going to slower speed limits and long gas lines and the gas prices. And we were told at the time that there was no more oil. That's what we were told. And then about 15 years later after that, I was one of the in on some of the first things when it was discovered that there was actually a lot more oil, and the technology reached up, and then all of a sudden it took off, and that's where we're at today. So as they say, things do change. And so
that's
those
right.
are the upfront sexual abuse in the Catholic Church again. China implements face scans for new phone users. Prophetic. This refers to a pattern that's going to lead us into Revelation 13 and the beast and the mark. And our net petroleum exporter, where we're finally exporting more than we imported and all the rest of that stuff. So, and the Assyrian Patriarch's address. Now, we also have Tower coming up. She has a story. Are you ready with yours?
Yes.
Okay.
This story comes to us from Bibles for Mideast. Usman and his wife, they were a Muslim couple. They were just lived ordinary lives in an Arab kingdom in the Middle East. And after 10 years of marriage, they were still childless. So they decided to adopt a baby from an orphanage. And they adopted a little girl and named her Ajmi. And after a while, as she grew, the baby talk failed to appear. And her parents were dismayed. They eventually learned their daughter would never learn to speak. She could hear clearly. And doctors told them she was always going to be mute. And they were totally devastated, but they loved their daughter so much, they knew returning her to the orphanage was unthinkable. And when she was old enough, they admitted her to a special school for deaf and mute children. And the year they admitted her, a new teacher appeared at the school, and she was dedicated educator. She was a former Muslim. just happened to be a volunteer evangelist with the Bibles for the Mideast. And she began each day's classes with prayers. And she tried staying below the radar of other teachers and staff that were all strong Muslims. She did her best to convey the gospel message to her students. And whenever she could fit it in, she would tell them of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and made it clear that salvation and eternal life could only happen through Jesus. And Ajmi was intrigued, and she especially treasured a picture of Jesus her teacher gave her. When she showed it to her parents, they were enraged and scolded her for carrying such a thing, took it and ripped it in pieces, and that hurt her, Ajmi, very much. She was hurt deeply. And when her parents left the room, she managed to rescue all the bits of paper and tape them back together, and she hid that image away where they wouldn't find it. And she also in secret began praying to this prophet man, Jesus. Not in words as we know them, but with the language of her heart and boldly. And she knew how to read, and the teacher gave her a booklet containing the Gospel of Luke and told all the students to read it daily. And whenever she had problems with what she read, she approached the teacher and managed to convey her questions to her and get an explanation. And it wasn't long before she accepted this wonderful Jesus as her own personal Lord and Savior. And when she became a teenager, her teacher presented her with a Bible in Arabic. And she was really excited to have the whole Bible. And back at home, when her parents did their regular Islamic prayer ritual, Ajmi tried to distance herself from them and pray instead to the Lord that she knew. And she tried to share the gospel with them, and that only angered them. But they couldn't deny her increasing happiness, so they grew more tolerant. And one day her father was injured in an accident, and the doctors tried to help him, but the wound got worse. There was nothing they could do. It was deeply infected and refused to heal. And when medicine couldn't help him, he turned to the Islamic priests and imams, but his wound continued to fester. And so Ajmi brought her father the gospel tract her teacher had given her and motioned him to read it. She said, "Jesus will heal you," she assured him with gestures, but he would have none of that. And she said, "I will pray to the Lord Jesus for your healing. Will you believe him if you are healed?" And the mother said, "I can believe," but the father remained silent. And Ajmi kept pressing him for an answer. And finally he said, "Okay, if he heals me, I will believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And so Ajmi closed her eyes, put her hands over her dad's wound, and prayed. And the parents watched, smiling at the fervent young daughter's way of praying, not believing anything would change. And when she was done, she removed her hands, and the wound was completely dried up. Their parents stared in disbelief, and they each ran the hands over where the wound had been, and it was now smooth, clear skin. Their doubts in Jesus as healer, Lord, and Savior vanished as completely as the oozing wound had, and each willingly accepted him into their hearts and lives. And all three knelt down, praising the Lord and thanking Jesus. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Ajmi then began praising in language her parents understood. She had been mute for 16 years and now was bursting both earthly and heavenly language. And as the friends and relatives of the families found out about this, many of them have come to believe in Jesus as well. And they've all been baptized and are members of the Bibles for Mideast Church. And so we need to remember to pray for them and pray for Bibles for Mideast, that they're able to reach out more to help these Muslims.
That's a great story.
Oh, it is. I love to hear about these kind of stories.
You read about them in
the Bible.
Oh, yeah, you do. And you live in the world. And, you know, you don't see that all the time.
No,
although
especially
we were
in the United States.
Oh, yeah. And it just, you know, right on the front lines where death is, where it's danger more than any other place, you see the Lord working. And we've seen this
That's right.
And time again. And, you know, that should be a testimony to the rest of us that God is in charge. And
Amen.
Speaking of being in charge, we now go to China's kangaroo court. And, you know, this almost reminds me of the court that's going on, you know, when they're doing the impeachment thing, which is a total farce, you know.
Oh, it is. It's upsetting.
You know. And so here you have this elder, Quinn Derfu, and of course he's with the Early Rain Covenant Church. This is Wang Yi's church. It was a pretty good size. And this particular one, he has been detained since last December, and he faced his trial. And they only allowed two family members, and no one from the ERCC was able to witness the trial. Outside of court, there were many plainclothes officials to intimidate those supporting him. And the assigned lawyer was unable to attend the trial. And they knew little about who the government forcibly assigned to Quinn as a replacement. So in other words, they took him into this, and he didn't have any way to respond to it. Now, see, one thing good about America, you're supposed to have a right to face your accusers and a redress, and you're innocent until proven guilty. But see, in the House, where there's supposed to be justice, Trump has not gotten any kind of justice, hasn't been able to face his own accuser, been total violation of his rights. In China, this guy, this elder, has not been able to have any kind of defense, has not been able to have address what the situation was, and didn't even know about who was defending him. I mean, a total kangaroo court. And, you know, and as I read this, you know, this is the way China is. And this is what we think of China when we think of Christianity in China and what's happened. It's kangaroo courts. There's no rights. Well, in America, we don't think of that. We think we have rights. That is until the Democrats are leading the charge, pushed by Hollywood, pushed by a lot of big money, with no evidence whatsoever. Even the three experts they had today were all, you know, professors, all of whom were liberal, left-wing, and who had already called for his impeachment a long time ago. And this was their experts. No way to redress it, no nothing. This is a total sham, both in Washington and in China here. And so we've been talking about this now. Together with Wang Yi and Elder Li Yingquan, he was arrested, and they accused of running an illegal business during the 2009 government crackdown against the House Church last year. Pastor Wang Yi and Elder Quinn are still being held by the government. Pastor Wang Yi faces similar treatment, and they expect him to have quite a bit of time. Now, Wang Yi did. Now, all this is over tracks, gospel tracks. But the thing of it is, Wang Yi had already told them that he would accept all. He was the one doing it. Nobody else is to be blamed. Well, they put these others up. And, of course, this is, you know, like I said, this is what we expect of China, Tower. This kind of thing here.
Yeah.
And this is what we see in Pakistan many times. Now, the example, the difference in that is when S.C. Abebe was finally released, but it took 9 years.
Yeah, and 200 more like her in there in prison.
200 more like her in there.
Or more.
And then, yeah, and we see in many other nations, there's no justice. So if you don't want to see this kind of justice, you need to stand up and tell these Democrats they need to give credence to this. You can't just take and have a one-sided court system without hearing both sides. Because Trump should be innocent until proven guilty, and in their courtroom, he's guilty until proven innocent. And this is a travesty. Now, see, you may say, well, I'm saying that just because I may support Trump or whatever. No, I say that because I'm an American. I believe in the Constitution, and I believe everybody, including the president, no matter how much you hate him, has a right to a defense. And even one professor, the fourth one that showed up today, is not a Trump supporter, but he stood in for the Republicans, and he stood up and said, this is not right the way you're doing this. And he outlined, Trump deserves a day in court. He deserves, to be innocent until proven guilty. But see, and this is the travesty. In America, in the House of Representatives, where it's supposed to be justice, we are finding injustice, and we're finding cruel injustice and hatred and divisions and people that are dishonest from the get-go, who are motivated by pride and hatred. And that's exactly what is pushing this. There's no truth to it at all. And we saw that in the fall of Israel as well. There was a long time, many times, justice was not portioned out, in the Old Testament, the way it should be. And today, we see this in many nations around. We see it in America. You know, we don't want to see this in America.
No, we don't.
You know?
We don't want to see it anywhere.
Hillary lied to Benghazi, and she got away with it. Obama, openly came and did a lot of things that were not only things that were immoral, but it's stuff that he couldn't have done, but he did it anyway. And, nothing happened to him. And, a lot of his supporters loved him, and that's fine and dandy. But, we have a problem in this country. And so when I do something on kangaroo courts in China, I think of America. Dear God in heaven, America is not that far away.
Well,
and
I know.
Now we're doing another one here. Tower's got another one. This is from Iran. And guess what? These Christians don't have a chance in these countries.
Nope.
They are guilty. So, anyway, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
This story is about Ibrahim Baruzi. He's 33. And August 2013, he was convicted of charges on propaganda against the Islamic Republic, launching and directing evangelism, and running a Christian website. He was sentenced to a year in prison and the term of exile. And while he was serving his sentence, his mother passed away. He wasn't even able to go say goodbye to her. And he also faced a second trial where he was sentenced to an additional 5 years for crimes against national security. He was accused of participating in illegal gatherings and colluding with foreign entities. And on October 26th, he was released from prison in Karja. And he was ordered to report to Shehrbaz following a brief period to order personal matters, to take care of some personal matters. And he was mandated to begin a 2-year exile in October in a remote area on the border with Pakistan. And this exile in Sarbuz is a frontier town on the Iranian-Pakistani border, known for its isolation and prevalence of Islamic militant groups. The sentence, which will expose the convert from Islam to extended periods of danger and isolation, was meant to keep him from having a positive influence on people and to stop him from fellowshipping with the people in the Tehran area. This is just horrible that, you know, I believe he's found a house to live in, and now he's looking for work now. So we need to pray for him, for his protection, and that this can turn around and that these people in this area will come to know the Lord through him, because he is a former Muslim.
This is just absolutely a travesty, but this is another one of those.
This is
what we expect from Iran.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, but God is moving Iran, but it costs. And we have a picture of him, and he is smiling, looking at the camera. And, you know, you look at him and you think, you know, this poor kid, this poor guy, you know, what was he doing wrong? Preaching, teaching.
Yeah. About Jesus.
Upholding, uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and if you look around, and you need to get my latest article. We're not done with it. We'll have it posted more than likely within 2 days. And the latest one, we'll tell you about it when it gets going. And I talk about a lot of this kind of thing. The servant is not above his master. And friends, that's where we're at right now. And I look at the way things are going in D.C. with how it's so easy for an entire House of Representatives to be led astray by the hatred and the lies of a few people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I see an America that is on the short end of staying the way it is. And I can guarantee you that there are those. And when I wrote my first book a long time ago, A D-Day for America, I discussed, you know, these things. And today we are in trouble. And any nation like ours, built with a constitution, has so many representatives willing to lie and fool themselves. This is terrible for America. It's not just terrible for Trump. It's terrible for America. And you're going to rue the day.
Yes, it is.
It's going to come back and bite you, and it will bring you nothing but sorrow. This is. And when I look at this poor kid here, you know, I think, what will the Christian church do? You know, when
I hope they'll say something.
Well, you know, look at it. Look at how soft we are. Look at our nice churches. Look how much freedom we've had. And then you take all that away and put a government like Iran, who suddenly says Christians are verboten, which we saw some of that under Obama. And we covered it.
Yeah.
How many times did we cover Christian businesses who were being sued? They had no rights. But others had rights because they didn't like what the Christians were doing. And the government did nothing.
Even Samaritan's Purse was targeted.
Yes. And the IRS, yeah, and that's how they were targeted, by the IRS, led by a lot of those who had been installed in there by Obama. So at any rate, we're going to move on. So remember, if you're an American and you're a Christian today, you better start praying fervently for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Give
right.
to those ministries that are helping on the ground around. And also help ministries like the WIBR Warren Radio. I very rarely plug us, but it costs a lot of money to keep the websites going. My full-time job is doing this ministry, keeping our websites up, writing and publishing and doing things like this. So remember us as well. You can go over to our websites. You can find a place to donate over there. And no, we're not a nonprofit. So at any rate, we're going to be talking about Pakistan, which is another place that we find all the time, Tower. All the time we find this.
Yeah.
A Christian, he was in a neighborhood town of Lahore. Now, Lahore comes up a lot. When we talk about persecution, it comes up a lot. And Mansoor, I'm going to just say first name. He said, I never thought we'd face this much hatred for not selling our house. He told that to ICC. And he said, it's really heartbreaking, disappointing for a Christian living in this country. Now, see, he was on the ground floor of his home when he heard something upstairs and his whole upper room had caught fire. He went up there, couldn't save anything. Someone had thrown some chemical with ashes into the upper room and burned it all. And he said for the last 6 months, different groups had pressured him and his family to leave the neighborhood and go to a Christian settlement. Well, see, this particular settlement where he's at used to be a Christian neighborhood, but the Muslims started moving in and running the Christians out. And so this is the kind of stuff we see in Iran. This is the kind of stuff we see in Iran. They'll just throw you in prison. In Pakistan, they'll kill you. In India, the Hindu radicals will kill you, burn you out, do anything they can to stop you. And so this is what we see overseas. And, of course, we look at America, Tower, and we think it'll never come here.
Oh, I don't believe that. But, you know, you want to think that, but, you know, that eventually it's going to.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to see this kind of thing come to this country.
Anywhere.
And our forefathers
like
gave us, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect us. And when
That's
we
right.
have groups, like I said, in this latest fiasco of an impeachment attempt, they need to get to the bottom of this and they need to make it clear, and so do the voters, that just because you disagree with the policies, you can't just, manipulate the system, which is exactly what they tried to do. This is what we know now. It's proof. And now it's nothing but hogwash. And, for me, it there are other generations that are being raised, and they're being raised immorally as well. So it's just a matter of time. You can't keep sowing seeds of destruction and hatred and division and godlessness and expect a nation to exist much longer.
That's right.
And it's not too late yet. We're not overthrown, not overrun, and stuff like that. But don't forget to read my latest article coming out, because I'm dealing with some of these subjects. Important for you to know. And we also talk about Cameroon. A pioneer pastor was among eight murdered in Cameroon. And we see this. This was by Barnabas Aid. And Boko Haram is the group that does it. Boko Haram is not only in Cameroon. There's over in Nigeria and another places when we talk about Africa. David Makoni is a retired pioneering pastor, hearing impaired, and a hearing impaired Christian boy were killed. They attacked a church there in far north Cameroon, and two other pastors that were there escaped. The attack happened at night, and it was the second in an attack on the town in a week. And you know, I mean, if you are one of those who live overseas and you are in one of these churches in Africa out in the middle of nowhere, you are taking your life in your hands, you know, a tower.
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, there's nobody to there's nobody to protect you.
No.
Now the
attacks, the government won't do anything.
No, at least not in Nigeria. And here it doesn't either, because there's been a brutal spate of attacks since October. So that's October and November, and we're in December now. And the gangs of these militants of Boko Haram were up to 200. And many times these groups are better armed than the national army. You know, the Cameroon army or like the Nigerian military. That's the way it was in Nigeria too. The Boko Haram was better armed than the military. And so when these attackers come, they take food, clothing, and livestock, and they'll even strip the sheets from the beds when the villagers leave. And the village, when they're done, doesn't even have a single sheep or goat. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing. They'll take anything and everything. On October 31st, five people were hacked to death when militants armed with axes and knives stormed the village, another village. And so this is, we see this when we're talking about persecution over in some of these nations. This is the rule of thumb for them. Now, you in these comfortable Western churches, you know, what do you suffer? Huh? You can't buy your favorite ice cream? Is that really your suffering? I mean, that's terrible. We all need our favorite ice cream, or we need to go to our favorite restaurant, or we need to listen to our favorite preacher, or we need more time off from our job. Dear God in heaven, give me a break.
You know, it's just hard to imagine how wicked people are that they could do this horrible stuff to another human being. It's just beyond anything I can understand.
Well, you know,
how wicked and evil they are. They're filled with the devil.
That's true. And that does make you wonder. And in this article that I've got coming out, I deal with that issue because that was laid on my heart as well. And it's just one of those things, you know, we're dealing with people that they really believe they're doing God a service here. And they do not know the Father nor the Son. And so that's why they do these things. And so the words of Jesus, Yahshua, have never been more true than they are at this moment in time. They've never been more prophetic than they are today. And if you're listening to us, you need to wake up. If you're in America or the West, comfortable, you need to wake up. Because I can guarantee you, we have people listening to us around the world. We have friends in other countries, and these friends know what enemies are, enemies of the gospel are. They know. In America, we don't know what a true enemy of the gospel is. God help us. Do you really want to know? Well, I tell you one thing, Christian Church. In America, you need to stand up and you need to make it known. Now, see, they're calling Trump supporters a cult, which is a bunch of malarkey. I can tell you, I know a bunch of these people that support him, and they have nothing to do with the cult. It has to do with wanting America the way it used to be and following the Constitution and our constitutional rights and the right also to be Christian and be faith-filled believers. That is what this is about. Don't let the left and their idiocies and their stupid arguments, which come from left-wing socialists and communists, naysayers, don't let them convince you of otherwise. You need to stand up. You need to make your views known. And if you relish or cherish your right to vote, you better get up off your dead butt and go vote. I'm not telling you how to vote, but you need to vote. And you need to stand up for other people's rights as well. You might start by standing up for Trump, who hasn't even been able to confront his own accuser, has not been able to even give a voice to his own defense, and they've got him convicted. This is baloney.
That's just wrong.
I wouldn't want to go to court without a voice. You wouldn't want to go to court. If they can do this to the president, you need to understand they can do it to you. And if you won't stand up, then it's going to be true what my dad told me long ago. A people deserve the kind of government they allow over them. America, you're going to get the government you deserve. If you fail to stand up, you're going to get an immoral, godless government that doesn't respect the rights of anybody. But if you stand up for truth and righteousness, stand up now. Period.
Amen.
And, you know, the thing of it is, when we go through these things, Tower, it's just hard to believe. You know, I look at these pictures, I think of their families and their kids, you know, and you can see them. I remember, you know, when you get in any kind of a little church situation and you have like Sunday school and you have the Sunday school materials, you know, when you get overseas, especially in Africa, they have a few things, but not much. But they're still little boys and girls and they learn stories about the Lord, you know, and they're being taught by leaders. And they may be in a ramshackle hut. They may be under a tree. They may be anywhere. And they don't have any money. They don't have any defense. And then these monsters come in and slaughter them. But I got news for you. One day, the blood of all of these martyrs are going to be recompensed. And the Lord will hold everybody accountable. Your day coming to an end. And so with that, we're going to have to get going. Tower.
Yes. And, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Whenever you do, be rest assured that we pray for you. We love you. We care about you. May God richly bless you as you serve him. Stay strong in the Lord. And be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines for part 27 of Isaiah's prophetic book, Oracles of Damascus. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Be sure to go to our website, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You'll find all of our articles there. You'll find our shows there. And we have a lot of shows that we republish from times past. So check everything out. A truly solid Christian experience, Christian materials for the Christian of today. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.